As we near the end, I'd like to discuss the blocks that we have made in our mind for not reading Salah or for not reading Salah properly. So, what are the blocks, what are the excuses, the justifications that we've come up with for not praying? If you're in surroundings which are not conducive to Salah, when you're at a wedding, for instance, no one else is praying and you don't want to look conspicuous. Now, what is the justification? Oh, people will think I'm showing off. Astaghfirullah, I don't want that. I'll go home and pray my good little prayer alone. These are the ways because Shaitan wants us to feel good about ourselves. So we won't even think of the enormity what we're doing. We're justified in our minds. What else? The very common one. I'm not well today. They're well enough to watch television. They're well enough to do whatever they want to do. But when it comes to Salah, they're exhausted or they're not well. Then another one is, I'll pray when I'm ready for it. When I pray, I can't concentrate. So there's no point in my praying. I'd rather pray when I'm absolutely focused and directed. Well, excuse me, that day is not going to come that you wake up and you've got a little halo around your head and you float on the prayer mat. So let's wake up from this pleasant little dream. What else? Wuzu. Wuzu is too difficult. I can't do wuzu. Another one is, I don't need to pray because I don't hurt people's feelings and I'm busy doing social work. So I'm so good anyway that Allah doesn't need me to become better. Now all of these blocks, and there are many more as well, all of these are like the foam on the surface of a swiftly flowing river. It seems like it's a lot, but there's no substance to them whatsoever. And they can all be solved by one simple method taught to us in the Quran. Allah, whenever He tells us about prayer, He says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish Salah. أَقِيمُ, and this is the word that teaches us how to pray successfully. أَقِيمُ, إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ, let's understand it, let's think of a very simple everyday image, that of building a house. When you build a house, what's the first thing you do? Foundation. You lay the foundation. And in the same way, before you start saying, oh, I can't pray because I can't concentrate, or I can't pray because it's too difficult, remember, you need the foundation within your heart. And how do you get that foundation of Iman? Through the Quran. The more Quran you listen to, the sort of people that you hang out with, they're all part of your foundation for Salah. Then what's the second thing we do after laying the foundations? Then we raise the walls, we raise the pillars. And this is your knowledge on Salah. This is just a practical tip that I'm giving you. This is the way you improve your Salah, and this is the way you overcome these barriers. The first thing you need to do is improve your Iman by reading the Quran, especially verses to do with Salah. And the second is that you increase your knowledge on Salah. Read up on Sunnah, find out how you're supposed to pray Sunnahs, which surahs you used to recite in the different rakats. And every bit of knowledge that you get will be like the wall that you're adding on to. Finally, you've laid the foundations, you raised the walls. Now what comes on top? The roof that protects you and that shelters the house. And this roof would be dua. Pray to Allah. Ask for Allah's mercy so He covers you. He encompasses your building of Salah with His mercy and He protects it. He protects it from the storms of Shaitan. And He protects it from falling down or collapsing. And once your house is all ready, only then do you buy the furniture and the ornaments and the little knickknacks that you put up in your house. People who do not have any knowledge on Salah, who've never bothered to read up the Quran, then complain, I can't read Salah because I find it boring. That's like going out and buying ornaments for your house when you haven't even laid the foundations. So it's all part of a process, and it's a process that takes sometimes a lifetime. But the reward at the end of it is so immense that I don't think there can be any two ways about considering whether we should do this or not. I'd like to read out an extract from Jeffrey Lang's book, Even Angels Ask, in which he describes his first prayer. On the day I converted to Islam, the Imam of the Masjid gave me a manual on how to perform Salah. How hard could it be to pray, I wondered. That night I decided to start performing the five prayers at their appointed times. Much of what I was saying was in Arabic, so I had to memorize the Arabic transliterations and English interpretations. I pored over the manual of Salah for a couple of hours before I felt confident enough to attempt my first prayer. I walked into the bathroom and opened to the section describing how to perform wuzu. Like a cook trying a recipe for the first time, I followed the step-by-step instructions slowly and meticulously. Standing in the center of the room then, I aimed myself in what I hoped was the direction of Makkah. I glanced back over my shoulder to make sure that I had locked the door to my apartment. Finding that it was, I then looked straight ahead, straightened my stance, took a deep breath, and in a hushed voice I pronounced, Allahu Akbar. I felt a little anxious. I couldn't rid myself of the feeling that someone might be spying on me. So I stopped what I was doing and I went to the window. I glanced around outside to make sure no one was there. Then I carefully pulled the curtains closed and returned to the middle of the room. Once again, I stood straight and whispered, Allahu Akbar. In a barely audible tone, I slowly and clumsily recited the first surah of the Quran and another short surah in Arabic. I then bowed with my back perpendicular to my legs. I had never bowed to anyone before, and I felt embarrassed. I was glad that I was alone. I stood up and recited Sami Allahu liman hamida, and then I felt my heart pounding and anxiety mounting as I called out another Allahu Akbar. I had arrived at the moment when I had to perform a sajda. Petrified, I stared at the area of the floor. I couldn't do it. I could not lower myself to the floor like a slave groveling before his master. It was as if my legs had braces on them that would not let me bend. I felt too ashamed and humiliated. I could imagine the snickers of friends watching me make a fool of myself. Poor Jeff, I could hear them saying. Please, please help me do this, I prayed. I took a deep breath and forced myself to the floor. Now on my hands and knees, I hesitated for a brief moment and then I pushed my face to the carpet. Ridding my mind of all other thoughts, I mechanically pronounced three times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allahu Akbar, I called and sat back on my heels and put my face again to the carpet. I was determined to finish this no matter what. Allahu Akbar, I called and lifted myself from the floor and stood up straight. Three cycles to go, I told myself. I had to wrestle with my emotions and pride the rest of the prayer, but it got easier with each cycle. Finally, I recited the tashahud and then ended the prayer. Spent, I remained on the floor and reviewed the battle I had just been through. I felt embarrassed that I had to struggle so hard to get through the prayer. With my head lowered in shame, I prayed, please forgive me my arrogance and stupidity. I have come from very far and I have so very far to go. At that moment, I experienced something I had never felt before. A wave of coldness swept through me, which seemed to radiate from some point within my chest. It was intense and it was much more than a physical sensation. It was as if mercy had taken on an objective form and was now penetrating and enveloping me. I cannot say why, but I began to cry. Tears began to run down my face and I found myself weeping uncontrollably. The harder I cried, the more I felt the embrace of a powerful kindness and compassion. I remained on my knees, crouched to the floor with my head in my hands, sobbing for some time. When I finally stopped crying, I was completely exhausted. But one thing I realized, I needed Allah and prayer desperately. Before getting up from my knees, I made one last dua. Oh God, if I ever gravitate towards disbelief again, then please kill me first. Rid me of this life. It is hard enough living with my imperfections and weaknesses, but I cannot live another day denying you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's last exhortation was for salah. The last moments of his life, when he was so ill, three times he got up and he said, have the Muslims prayed? Aisha radiallahu anha said, no, they're waiting for you. He would bathe and then he would faint. Three times this happened and finally he appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the prayer. But that final moment when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out supported by two men for the Zuhr prayer, when Abu Bakr saw him, he started to move back. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated to him that he should not move back. And he said to the two men, sit me at his side. They sat him down beside Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr prayed standing. And the people prayed following the prayer of Abu Bakr. And amongst the last words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were, As-salah, as-salah, the prayer, the prayer. And fear Allah with regard to the slaves your right hands possess. This is Islam, huququllah and huququl ibad. And I'd like to end with a hadith Qudsi in which Allah said, I accept the salah of one who humbles himself during it to my greatness. and who does not perform the salah just for show, and who does not spend the night in disobedience to me, and who spends the day remembering me, and who is merciful to the poor, the traveler, and the widows, and who is merciful to one who is suffering from a disease. He has a light like the light of the sun. I protect him by my glory, and the angels guard over him. I give him light in darkness and dignity in the presence of ignorance, and his example in my creation is like Firdaus in Jannah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك ربنا تقبل منا Allah please accept from us إنك أنت السميع العليم You are the all-hearing, the all-knowing وتب علينا and forgive us إنك أنت التواب الرحيم You are the most relenting, the repeatedly merciful Allah grant us all the tawfiq to read all five prayers with sincerity, with fervor, and with conviction, only for you. Allah, beautify our salah, make it beautiful in your eyes, beautify our rukus, beautify our sajdas, beautify our qiyam, and beautify our duas, and accept it from us, and make our hisab easy. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil karim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون ولقد خلقنا الإنسان من سلالة من طين ثم جعلناه نطفة في قرار مكين ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين ثم إنكم بعد ذلك لميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة تبعثون ولقد خلقنا فوقكم سبع طرائق وما كنا عن الخلق غافلين وأنزلنا من السماء ماء بقدر فأسكنناه في الأرض وإنا على ذهاب به لقادرون فأنشأنا لكم به جنات من نخيل وأعناب لكم فيها فواكه كثيرة ومنها تأكلون وشجرة تخرج من طور سيناء تنبت بالدهن وصبغ للآكلين وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهَا وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ كَثِيرَةٌ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ وعليها وعلى الفلك تحملون ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره أفلا تتقون فقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه ما هذا إلا بشر مثلكم يريد أن يتفضل عليكم ولو شاء الله لأنزل ملائكة ما سمعنا بهذا في آبائنا الأولين إن هو إلا رجل به جنة فتربصوا به حتى حين قال رب انصرني بما كذبون فأوحينا إليه أن اصنع الفلك بأعيننا ووحينا فإذا جاء أمرنا وفارت النور فاسلك فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا من سبق عليه القول منهم ولا تخاطبني في الذين ظلموا إنهم مغرقون فإذا استويت أنت ومن معك على الفلك فقل الحمد لله الذي نجانا من القوم الظالمين وقل رب أنزلني منزلا مباركا وأنت خير المنزلين إن في ذلك لآيات وإن كنا لمبتلين ثم أنشأنا من بعدهم قرنا آخرين فأرسلنا فيهم رسولا منهم أن اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره أفلا تتقون وقال الملأ من قومه الذين كفروا وكذبوا بلقاء الآخرة وأترفناهم في الحياة الدنيا ما هذا إلا بشر مثلكم يأكل مما تأكلون منه ويشرب مما تشربون ولئن أطعتم بشرا مثلكم إنكم إذا لخاسرون أيعدكم أنكم إذا متم وكنتم ترابا وعظاما أنكم مخرجون هيهات هيهات لما توعدون إن هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما نحن بمبعوثين إن هو إلا رجل افترى على الله كذبا وما نحن له بمؤمنين قال رب انصرني بما كذبون قال عما قليل ليصبحن نادمين فأخذتهم الصيحة بالحق فجعلناهم غثاء فبعدا للقوم الظالمين ثم أنشأنا من بعدهم قرونا آخرين ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون ثم أرسلنا رسلنا تترى كلما جاء أمة رسولها كذبوه فأتبعنا بعضهم بعضا وجعلناهم أحاديث فبعدا لقوم لا يؤمنون ثم أرسلنا موسى وأخاه هارون بآياتنا وسلطان مبين إلى فرعون وملئه فاستكبروا وكانوا قوما عالين فقالوا أنؤمن لبشرين مثلنا وقومهما لنا عابدون فكذبوهما فكانوا من المهلكين ولقد آتينا موسى الكتاب لعلهم يهتدون وجعلنا ابن مريم وأمه آية وآويناهما إلى ربوة ذات قرار ومعين يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاتقون فتقطعوا أمرهم بينهم زبرا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون فذرهم في غمرتهم حتى حين أيحسبون أنما نمدهم به من مال وبنين نسارع لهم في الخيرات بل لا يشعرون إن الذين هم من خشية ربهم مشفقون والذين هم بآيات ربهم يؤمنون والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون والذين يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون ولا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها ولدينا كتاب ينطق بالحق وهم لا يظلمون بل قلوبهم في غمرة من هذا ولهم أعمال من دون ذلك هم لها عاملون حتى إذا أخذنا مترفيهم بالعذاب إذا هم يجأرون لا تجأروا اليوم إنكم منا لا تنصرون قد كانت آياتي تتلى عليكم فكنتم على أعقابكم تنكصون مستكبرين به سامرا تهجرون أفلم يدبروا القول أم جاءهم ما لم يأت آباءهم الأولين أم لم يعرفوا رسولهم فهم له منكرون أم يقولون به جنة بل جاءهم بالحق وأكثرهم للحق كارهون ولو اتبع الحق أهواءهم لفسدت السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن بل أتيناهم بذكرهم فهم عن ذكرهم معرضون أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ خَرْجًا فَخَرَاجُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَنِ الصِّرَاطِ لَنَاكِبُونَ وَلَوْ رَحِمْنَاهُمْ وَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِمْ مِنْ ضُرٍّ لَلَجُّوا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْعَذَابِ فَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَمَا يَتَضَرَّعُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا ذَا عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ إِذَا هُمْ فِيهِ مُبْلِسُونَ وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنشَأَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ وَهُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَلَهُ اخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ بَلْ قَالُوا مِثْلَ مَا قَالَ الْأَوَّلُونَ قَالُوا أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ لَقَدْ وُعِدْنَا نَحْنُ وَآبَاؤُنَا هَذَا مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ قُلْ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ قُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ سيقولون لله قل فأنى تسحرون بل أتيناهم بالحق وإنهم لكاذبون ما اتخذ الله من ولد وما كان معه من إله إذا لذهب كل إله بما خلق ولعلى بعضهم على بعض سبحان الله عما يصفون عالم الغيب والشهادة فتعالى عما يشركون قل رب إما تريني ما يوعدون رب فلا تجعلني في القوم الظالمين وإنا على أن نريك ما نعدهم لقادرون ادفع بالتي هي أحسن السيئة نحن أعلم بما يصفون وقل رب أعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين وأعوذ بك رب أن يحضرون حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون